right, guys, welcome back to the Shift Points podcast, where stupid people agree with each other when we say something stupid. I'm Jake Freeman.
I'm Logan Chandler.
I'm Jackson. Hi.
That's Jackson Boone. Anyway, we are back, guys. This is the second episode for this year, 2024, which is just weird that it's already like almost April.
Season two, baby.
I don't know how it's already almost April.
Time's flying, man.
It really is. I guess it's flying when you're having fun, and it's always fun being here with you guys.
Amen to that.
So, what you been into?
I'm doing a little bit of research for this. Got some stuff to talk about.
Good. Know? I like that.
See, other than that, same old, brother.
Yeah. I did my research on TikTok.
I mean, then isn't that where everyone
so far
was?
Has
I thought that
two,
was just where everyone did the research.
We got two
now.
Topics.
Though. Yeah, no, we're good. We're
yeah, rocking. No, that's what I'm saying. I just thought TikTok was where everyone got their news nowadays.
Anymore,
to be
yeah.
I don't like TikTok, man. They don't like me for some reason. I don't get any views on there, many. I don't know.
Anyway, algorithm's not in your favor.
No, it's not. Apparently, it's all those like negative Chinese comments, I guess. Just kidding. Anyway, all right, guys. So this week, we want to dive into it. We really enjoyed doing it like last week with the kind of talking about different news things that were kind of in the automotive world going on. Who wants to kick it off this week?
Jackson. I started last week.
Go ahead.
I don't. Okay.
Got him on
you
guard.
Got something.
That's right. One of those TikTok things, and I don't. It's almost a year old. The article is that I found this one, but it's kind of just a shout out to the Australians. The crazy.
I love my
nut jobs. That are
I love Australians. They're the best.
Entitled this one "The Crazy Nut Job Australians." A tuning company in Australia took a 1.6 liter Yaris GR.
Mm-hmm.
With stock internals, it made 740 horsepower.
That's a lot.
740.9.
A 1.6 liter inline 3, 740.9 horsepower.
Inline 3. You said 1.6
liter?
1.6 700 liter. Horsepower.
On factory internals. Now, they did put a 58 millimeter Garrett turbo on it.
Right. That makes sense. I'm surprised it was that small. I would have expected bigger, to be honest. But I mean, it's a really small engine.
It
you
also,
don't need it.
It revs almost to 9K.
Yeah.
This thing
yeah.
is.
Does it say how many pounds of boost they put into it?
Nope.
No.
I imagine a lot.
I mean, I don't know. Like I said, something that small, you might not even have to stuff that much boost into it to make it. I don't know. 15 pounds, maybe 20 pounds. Might have been more than that. I don't know. That's pretty wild, though. You think about the – me and Dad talk about it a lot with the – like not to, like, immediately go away from, like, 1.6 liters, but, like, with the gassers – with the Southeast gassers that when Randy comes here and we talk about that, you think about the quality of parts over – I don't know. Let's call it the last decade. I mean, it's longer than that, but over the last decade, the quality of parts has went – insanely good. You can buy stock internal stuff like you were talking about there and make mega power out
oh, yeah.
of it. It's just crazy. I don't know if it's just a statement to the manufacturing processes, quality control, or better materials in general, or like what that is, but it is pretty wild
I
what
think
you
it's,
can do.
I think it's a mix of materials and the fact that so much has been done already that we like can pull from experience wise.
That's true.
That
yeah,
helps
no, that
out
definitely
a lot
makes sense.
That.
Well, when you think about it, I mean, a Formula One engine's 1.5 liters, and yeah. I mean it's turbocharged, but that one was as well. But they're making over 1,000 horsepower with those little engines
yeah.
too.
Yeah, but that
know?
Engine costs as much as 25 of those.
yeah, it's not absolutely. I'm just saying that the engineering side of it. Exists.
These
you know,
are just
like,
some crazy dudes that were like,
"Let's try."
I can fit that car in my pocket. Let's.
I mean, just basically, yeah. well, I mean, it's what the guys fast. Here in the U.S. do with 5.3s, right?
Yeah.
With LSs,
yeah,
you're
I mean,
just like,
yeah.
"What can I do with this? I'm gonna just stuff turbos on it." And
I would
see what
love
happens.
To know what the actual speed numbers on that are, because all that said, like, correct me if I'm wrong, was that they have done like 30 different dyno runs on it to make sure that it runs fine, but mm-hmm. they didn't put up any speed numbers or anything.
Not that I could find.
It's 741 yeah. horse, mm-hmm. and it weighs what 2,700 pounds?
It was something like that. It's very, very light.
That thing is a rocket.
Yeah, I mean. Dad's car weighed 2,700 pounds as well. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I know, but I'm just saying, like, that's not...
We should build an inline 3-cylinder and put it in that car.
No. Dad just turned off, man. He just turned it off. He doesn't want to listen. He doesn't want to listen to us anymore.
Jackson's
He's like, I was
moron.
Reluctant to listen to this in the first place. And now I'm definitely against it. Now, that is interesting. I'm... I love people's ingenuity, especially in Australia.
Crazy Australia.
Because you never know what they're going to do. Oh, God. Yeah, so anyway, that is very interesting.
With their weird driver's licenses.
What do you have to have, like,
one of them might watch this and correct me, but you have to have a special endorsement to drive a turbocharged car.
Oh, really?
A special endorsement to drive a manual car.
What?
Yeah. Like, you have
to... I would have assumed that they, like, most of their stuff was manual transmissions, like, Europe. I don't know. I didn't know that. That's
another
weird.
One of those TikTok things. Like, you have to have a special endorsement for everything.
All right. My Australian friends, we had a lot at one point. I need you to come in here and tell me if this is true, because that's wild. Because, like, here in the U.S., you get a driver's license. You need, like, a motorcycle endorsement if you drive a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And then you need, like, a CDL if you want to drive, like, a big truck.
Yeah. Legally.
Legally, at least,
well,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's about it.
Things happen.
You drive, like, a fleet or something. Yeah. What's the weight on a CDL now? I should know this. I work in the trucking industry.
27?
I don't know.
Maybe it's 20.
I don't want to give a number because I don't remember.
I don't know.
I work in the trucking industry. I should know that. yeah. So, okay. All right. Cool. All right. The Australians are in. Logan?
You want me to go?
Yeah, you go.
Okay. Let me get this pulled back
up
here.
It's
another one that TikTok. Came to me from Jackson. He was talking to me about this, and I ended up finding the article on it. So there is a... there's a Subaru in WRC. I wish I could find the clip so you could hear this.
Sounds super
those
cool.
Those guys are insane.
It's an 04 Subaru STI.
Like, okay.
And if you played the video, sound off, it just looks like some dude ripping through a dirt track, absolutely bossing an STI around a corner, right?
Gotcha.
The second you turn the sound on, it makes absolutely zero sense because... this guy found a way to shoehorn a, what was it?
Is that 3.9 liter?
It is a
3.8, something
4.3 like that? V8 from a Ferrari California into Subaru.
Okay.
And this thing is an absolute monster. Here, I will show you.
Just put this. Oh, wow.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Once he got the OG Boxer out of it, he found out that he just barely had enough room to fit that engine in, and the radiator wouldn't go in.
Therefore, it needs to be in there.
So he
if it'll
put,
fit, it needs
he
to go.
Put the radiator in the back, like a drift car setup.
Okay, yeah.
And he has been absolutely ripping up times.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because I imagine that car weighs very little.
Oh, there's some restriction they have for power under, I think it was 5 liters or something, that under 5 liters, if it's a V8, there's no power restriction.
Oh, okay.
So he was like, Ferraris are fast.
So he's like, he found the loophole.
Yeah.
And suddenly they wrote a rule.
Okay, I got it. It is, oh wait, it just went away.
No.
Okay, yeah. It pushes 454 to all four.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's
so it's an all-wheel drive
around.
Setup? Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
I'm trying to see if there's anything else numbers-wise down here. I just want to talk about that thing because that's insane.
Just imagine the set of kahunas you got to have to crawl in that thing and then rip it down a forest road.
No.
Because, like, I don't know if I could do it. Like,
I
could do it. Jackson knows me. Like, I will pretty much drive anything. Like, it does not matter. I will give it a shot, you know.
No.
But, like, and I would do that, but I would probably do it at, like, 50% throttle. Because it's a gravel / dirt road, and there's trees on each side of it.
Rally drivers are a different breed.
They're wired differently,
man. We've talked about it before, yeah.
You know,
there's a reason.
Before Jake got married and had a kid, he would have not went 50% throttle. He'd have went, hey, you guys want to ride with me while I try this? And we all would have went, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Now it's different. He's like 50% throttle, 5-point harness,
helmet.
Yeah. That was just flame in case suit. Emily listened, you know, just in case. I'd go 100% throttle. I mean, come on. If someone offered that up and was like, here, crawl on this thing and do it, I'm going to try it because I'm probably only going to get one shot at this.
Am I going to be on that track or am I going to go down that random dirt road?
Yeah, I'm going to be in the woods.
Yeah.
Just, I'm off the track.
Those World Rallycross videos are just the best. Just watching those guys and like the level of concentration and focus that it takes to do that. I don't know how you do it. And if you are actually listening to those driver notes, you're a machine just to be able to interpret them.
Oh, yeah. That makes zero sense. Because,
like, I've listened to them, and I'm like, I know that there's, like, this is basically an art. Like, these guys have studied and trained to do this, but I'm like,
left,
mean
left
anything.
3, encroaching 400, right 5, hard sharp 2. So you're like,
sure.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Numbers, uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like, imagine the mindset of the dude who's like, I'm going to ride in this with you. And while you're blistering down this dark road, I'm going to look at a notebook and just read this. So I'm going to read a novel while you drive very quickly down a dirt road.
And I'm not going to look up, but for like
And he's not
going to
throw up, because I would throw up if I was going that fast and then just like reading notes and trying to keep up with it.
Have you seen the crashes from inside the car?
Oh, yeah.
The guy's like... And he holds the notebook. He's like, I worked really hard on this.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, they get just – I mean, and of course you would, but, like, the co-drivers get just as fired up. Like, when they crash or something, I mean, it's equal in their minds. And it is. It's equal. It's an equal win, right? If they win – if the driver wins, the co-driver has won as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's its own deal, but it's like – I don't know. I couldn't even...
Pure insanity.
I couldn't think about doing that. Like, I couldn't even start to do that.
No, not even close.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. I wanted to talk about this because I know Jackson's love of a certain a small Japanese truck.
It's K-Trucks.
Wow, he got it really quick. So,
Logan's grandpa has a mini truck sitting there.
Yep.
Oh, really?
He used to use it to bring feed around the farm.
Okay, I need to, before I talk about this story, I need to understand the K-Truck thing.
Okay.
Because I see them all the time.
Yep.
And people seem to really like them.
Yeah.
What's the advantage of a K truck? And genuine, this is a genuine question. I'm not trying to mess.
It's
so there's no like.
It's really tiny.
It's cool.
And it's really different. There's some people. I feel like this is another TikTok thing. I guess that's the theme of today's episode. Somebody said that they're like really efficient and like not nearly as bad for the environment, but I don't know how true that is.
As far as like emissions
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
I saw someone took a little John Deere diesel tractor motor and put it in one. And it was like, there's a little spoolie that's like, brr, brr, and it's just like rolling coal in here, banging gear. It was super cool.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of room. The engine bay's like this.
Even here, you see them all the time. So what is, to me, like, what's the benefit of this over just like a truck? Just like a regular old truck.
They're cool. Somebody send me one for free, please.
You want to see the first ever like Shift Points vehicle review? Jackson will do that thing top to bottom.
I'm keeping it, though.
I have seen one guy online, YouTube channel, that I can't remember the name of right now. He imports the K-Trucks. Uh-huh. And love that he brings them in. Hates what he does to them. Because then he throws like... what you'd expect Brodozer wheels to look like, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Except they're for a golf cart because it's really? A K-truck.
So like, not really. Spaces them out, does, yeah. like
spaces
the,
them out, does the rubber
big,
band
big
wheels.
Big offsets, a stretch wheel, yeah.
I've seen some people that, like, jack them up and put, like, 35s on them.
Yeah.
Like, Navis. Yeah. Like, that's... Yeah. Seems like okay. You know.
At that point, it's just a toy.
I thought there was a reason because like
I think it's purely just because people are like, oh, truck,
little truck.
Yeah. I think they're cool.
I don't know if
it's a little
drive one. I've never even seen with the cab. Is it just a cab over sort of
basically,
setup?
Basically, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of tight, but
okay,
it is very tight. I drove Papaw's.
Some of them have little hydraulic dump beds.
Yeah,
that would be super super cool.
Yeah,
I mean, given the. You know,
well,
you could probably haul three buckets of gravel.
Are they four-wheel drive? Are they like four-wheel
drive? All-wheel
drive.
I mean, a lot of them.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All-wheel drive,
yeah.
Four-wheel drive, whatever. Okay. That makes sense. I'm sure they go well.
Yeah, they make about 38 horsepower.
I saw one. The guys at the guys on Donut bought one.
Okay.
And it looks like the Chinese version of an F-150. If you pulled like the plug out of one, just let all the air out.
Uh-huh.
And it made 24 horsepower. And it had the little dump bed like you were talking about. Hmm. But they had to unbox it and put it together.
Huh. Interesting. Are they cheap? Like, can
like
you get them?
$3,000.
$3,000
to buy all the money comes in on the import cost.
Yeah.
Huh.
I think really total that they paid for was like $9,000.
Yeah.
total about 9 grand. Okay, that makes sense. Because I've seen them like on Facebook for like 7,000.
Yeah.
So I figured that was okay. That makes sense. Okay. All right. Sorry. Not to like. I really needed to understand about the K-Truck freight craze.
Look at that picture in your hand. How can you not understand?
I mean, I'm not a mini truck guy.
It's awesome.
And so like this stuff. I mean,
you could put that truck in the bed of your truck.
No, it's not that small.
They're pretty small.
I mean, they're small, but I don't know if you can fit in the bed of my truck. But anyway, all right, so let's talk about this a little bit. Jackson, I don't want you to, like, move. I know you're probably not going anywhere, but just in case, if you wanted to go to Texas, maybe don't go if you want to buy a K-Truck, because they are refusing to register K-Trucks, and the owners are fighting back.
That's okay. What that just told me is the market's saturated with unregistered K-Trucks.
So you need to go. So, but that's what I'm trying to understand. I was reading this article, and I'm like, why does Texas care? Like, why would they – do they just think they're unsafe because they're so small? Like, why would it is it because everything's bigger in Texas?
I was about to say that.
They're like, this is a small truck, and it goes against everything we believe in. Everything should be bigger here.
It's a small truck from across the water. It's the exact opposite.
Like, this is against everything we stand for. Okay.
We've been talking about going to the stockyards for a while.
Yeah.
Go down there and get you a K-Truck.
A K-Truck. Yeah, we'll put it in our carry-on to bring it back.
We could.
I just saw this, and I was like, I thought of Jackson instantly.
You could have the cab in yours. Jake could have the bed in his. I could have the axles and stuff in mine. We'd be just fine.
I don't know. That the K-Truck is just I don't get it. Maybe if one of you guys will get one and I could drive it, maybe I'll understand the
Someone
craze.
Send me one.
No one's going to send you one.
For free.
No, they're definitely not going to do that for free.
Okay. $1,000.
Hey, there you go.
And if it doesn't run, I'll buy a wrecked crotch rocket and we'll make it really fast.
Boy. Oh, gosh. We'll figure it out from there. That was pretty much the only story I had, to be honest with you. I just was really confused on why Texas would give a crap about K-Trucks enough to be like, we're not going to let you register these here in the U.S. or in Texas.
I mean, it's probably got something to do, like, safety regulations-wise. Because I will tell you, from driving Papaw's up and down the road, I mean, the doors are super thin, the cab is super thin. You've got, like, the most pindly little steering wheel ever. Mm. I doubt there's anything. There is a lap belt. You've got that.
That's all I've got in the galaxy. No, it's a boat.
That's really about that. I mean, it's probably something to do with safety regulations.
Like I said, all I have in the galaxy is a lap belt. Yeah, but you've also 17 and a half
feet long.
You've
also got a galaxy. That thing is literally three times the size of a K-Truck.
I'd say it's four times. I mean, you could probably put four together, and it would be roughly the same size as the galaxy.
Probably.
Oh man. I found a 427 on Facebook Marketplace that I'm just trying not to compulsively buy and just get rid of the 390 in the Galaxy.
You shouldn't have told me.
You see, all the Galaxy guys that we've talked to at car shows, they're like, oh, I'll never get rid of this.
You've got the good
This
one.
Has to stay forever.
You know me though. That just drives me to pull the motor out in the first place.
You've got the best thing you could possibly have in that thing, son. You don't need to get rid
but,
of it.
I mean, to be fair, if Jake wanted to chop that thing up, he could really chop it up. They've got the Charger rear end. There's a 5.3 and a 4L60. Yep. He could really make some people mad.
We have abundance of parts laying around.
He could really make some people mad.
Oh, yeah.
But I think putting a Chevy 427 in that would be enough to really make somebody really mad.
Some old guy would walk up at a car show and be like, oh, Galaxy. Oh, God.
My uncle might haunt me. Like, he might just go. Like, he was a diehard Ford guy, man. I'm telling you. He's buried that far from my house.
As soon as you turn the ignition.
Strolling down the road and haunt me.
You got to prime the fuel pump. You turn the ignition on, all the lights cut out.
And he says, let's go. We've screwed up. There's a disturbance in the forts.
Oh, God.
See what I said there? It's like Forest
like
Ford.
It. I like it.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I told Dad about it today. I was like, I sent him the link, and I was like, it's only 4 hours away. It's in Tennessee. It's brand new. It's blueprint engine. We could do it. He's like, nah.
Good man.
Yeah.
Good man.
He keeps me level-headed.
Deep down inside, he was like,
yeah. Holly EFI. Come with Holly EFI and everything, so we could put fuel injection on it. It would be the ultimate driver at that point. Yeah. I think I should do that.
You should go get it.
I'm just convincing myself.
You should go get it.
Do your thing, man. I'm back.
I probably shouldn't do that right now.
10,000 likes on this podcast, Jay puts a 427 blueprint in.
If you give me 1,000 likes, no. I might do that, because that would be a lot of likes for us.
YouTube challenge.
15 comments.
YouTube challenge. If 15 comments that are not
watches
us.
This, and I'm just at home watching it myself.
Official YouTube challenge. If this video gets 1,000 likes on it.
1,000 likes. I have to go get it. That's a requirement.
How many people do you know? I don't know 1,000.
You don't know 1,000 people.
Give me a stack of those stickers. I'll take them to work and I'll see what I can make happen.
Like, put them on. Go on and like this one
episode.
How
many people work there? Like 600?
Yeah, I could get us part of the way there.
That's a little over halfway.
I'll go to Walmart and get the rest.
Oh, boy.
Just standing there like a greeter. Be like, here, I need you to sign into your YouTube and like this real quick.
Then you can have this free sticker.
Maybe. I don't know. There's a lot to do. We need to go to drag racing first.
Yeah.
We got to go drag racing first. That right there is like the main reason why I wouldn't go
buy
it.
That's fine. You got some barns. We'll throw it in there.
Oh, God. Add it with everything else.
I like how this came from us talking about K-Trucks. This is glorious.
Yeah, we got from K-Trucks to Galaxies and putting
we were talking about Texas, then we started talking about big things.
Yeah.
and a Galaxy came to mind. Yeah, it's smoking really bad, though, guys. It's not looking good. It really needs some help.
Well, it's sitting for 20 years. Those rings really dried out.
Yeah. We're going to try one more thing. We've got some, like, one of Dad's friends told us about this GM AC Delco, like, top-end cleaner. And he said that he talked to an old, like, GM technician and told him. He was like, if you put this in there and, like, let it set for a couple hours and then change the oil, he goes, you're pretty much, whatever you get after that is as good as it's going to get. So it's like, well, we're going to try that and see how it does.
Fair enough.
So, anyway. Yeah, there's a little update on my Galaxy. We haven't worked on it on the channel in a while, so there's a little update. We've been messing with the carburetor. That's been a headache as well.
Yeah.
Anyway. Ooh. All right, what are the things you got?
Well.
I sidetracked us a little bit.
Things at Texans hate. Electric vehicles. The checks have hit. The agents of the government are prepared to destroy Elon Musk.
All right.
Elon Musk, if you're listening, though,
would you like
free
for me
Teslas.
To, would you like to give some for them me to give them some context on this?
Before we continue, how much allocation do I have with this?
I'll tell you when you went too far.
All right, cool.
I'll tell you right before you go too far.
Go ahead.
All right,
cool.
So last week we had a whole conversation about the Cybertruck and the apparent corrosion issue, I think is what they called it. And just to give fair where it's due, the engineer at Tesla came out and said that it was a corrosion issue. It wasn't actually the stainless steel of the truck that was rusting. It was a reaction between the corrosion and the stainless steel, which that corrosion is what was rusting. So we had a few comments about it. And basically, at the end of the day, we have been set up by the U.S. government to dethrone Elon Musk from his Cybertruck dynasty.
That is the general consensus.
That is what we've been told, that we are just we're hitmen to take out Elon Musk as far as the on the social media side of things. So yeah. I would definitely say that three really average dudes definitely have all the capabilities to dethrone a multi-billionaire.
Oh, yeah.
I would just
like to say to Elon Musk, if you're listening, I love you, and anything you would like to give me, anything at all, I will happily accept.
He sends you a K-Truck. He has access to all the Teslas. He sends you a K-Truck. He's like, here, this guy really likes this.
As long as it's got the T badge on the front, you're good.
He can Tesla swap it. I don't even care.
All right, also, of this comment, go ahead.
All the people that leave angry, hateful comments, we love you too.
Yeah, we really do.
We get some. We get genuine enjoyment out of it.
It makes me laugh. I do laugh usually.
Not in like a haha screw you way, but like we are very self aware.
Oh yeah.
That we're just regular dudes, more than likely don't know anything, but we're gonna voice opinions, and that's the fun part of the internet.
Yeah, someone said that we were stupid, and I was like, yep.
That's our intro.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That was hurtful. Next. But, anyway. So anyway, because of this, because we've been sent by the government to dethrone Elon Musk from his Cybertruck empire, Logan, I think, has something to say.
So, yeah. First thing that I would like to do, and I'm going to start with this, is to the one guy that specifically did call out us as being government agents, I would like to formally apologize, okay? Because I looked back at what I said, and I realized that I did you a disservice by not going into enough detail about the things that I do not like about this truck. Okay. So I've done a little bit more looking. I've dived onto some forums about just some nitpicky things here and there. So I'm going to start off with what we talked about, the bulletproofing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I did the research he was supposed to do. I did Jackson's homework for him.
That's good.
So
that was the only way it was going to get done.
It is.
Yeah, I didn't do it either.
It is bulletproof.
It didn't come up on my TikTok, so.
At least according to Jerry Rig Everything. That's the guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is bulletproof to 9mm.
Okay.
It is bulletproof to 22.
Mm-hmm.
The second that he bumped up to a 17 HMR, straight through the panel.
But I mean, 9mm is probably the most common round in the U.S.
Probably. So
to be fair, my credit card will stop a 9mm. We tried it.
Okay.
Okay. So that further proves my point.
The titanium one.
The Apple one.
Yeah. So I wanted to get that out there. So yes, there is actually some bulletproofing done
to it.
Good on that.
Gotcha.
Here's where I get to have a little bit of fun.
Okay.
with the way that the thing was created in its own right. So you know how underneath the light bar it has that really big piece of just bent stainless steel on the very front?
Yes.
So according to Tesla engineers, the stainless steel that they used was so hard to actually bend and shape for the panels that they had to invent their own way to do it.
Mm-hmm. I read that.
And that front panel is held on by the welds. It's constantly under tension.
Cool.
So if those welds broke at the very end, yeah, just go right at the
like
side.
Boom, boom, and just like our tusks. So I think someone should do that.
My new life goal is to keep the Milwaukee grinder in the car all the time. And if I find one,
weaken the weld just enough to where it eventually flexes and bing.
So going along with those panels.
The cyber tusks.
Going along with those panels. People have found some massive safety issues with them.
Cool.
The edges are not rounded off.
Okay, so
I heard about that.
So the frunk.
So Tesla can afford to invent new bending techniques, but they can't afford a grinder.
Yes.
Okay.
So the frunk is, you know, if it's open and you're sitting there talking to somebody, you're going to set your hand on the side of the thing while it's open, not really pay attention. So.
And it automatically closes.
Watch people doing, you know, reviews on the thing. They were like, we've heard this is dangerous. I'm going to test this. Dude pulled a carrot out. And apparently, according to some weird medical science, it takes the same amount of
tensile.
So he just kind of stuck that thing there. But he pressed the button to close the frunk and chopped it clean in half.
Cool.
Did it to a lineup of six. So it is just... That's chopping cool. your entire hand off if you leave that there. It's the same thing on the doors. It's the same thing on the tailgate. None of the edges are rounded off.
Gotcha.
You know how we talked about the tonneau cover and getting you some extra mileage or some extra range if it's closed? If it's closed, you have zero rear visibility.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Because the back glass is underneath the top of the tonneau cover. When it's open, that's when that glass... slides up and is visible through. You have a rear view mirror, but if the tonneau cover is up so you can have more range, you can't use it. They did think of that. There's a big center screen. You have this little bitty thing right about here off to the right that acts as a camera.
As your rear view camera.
Yep. And that sounds like a good safeguard, right?
This literally sounds like, have you seen the memes where it's like, where they put the starter inside the bell housing of the transmission? Like, have you seen those pictures? And they're like, this is what happens when engineers design cars. Like, this is like, you took every generic engineer and you were like, and said, here, design a car and make it as complicated as possible. That's literally what they've done here. Okay.
I love that I'm getting to do this. I don't know why.
Because we're paid to by the government.
Oh, yeah, paid to by the government. Thank you.
Exactly. I'm waiting for the check. Back in our tax return.
First off, that's a good safeguard. A lot of people are going to like that. Oh, rear view camera. Nice.
Right.
The second that any sort of inclement weather comes up.
You can't see anything.
No, it's completely knocked out.
Right.
It's useless.
I don't know if either of you've seen the RAV4 with the digital rear view mirror.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where it's the flip up.
It's digital. You push the button, extra camera in the back, and then you have a digital rearview mirror.
Yep.
You ever driven with that?
No.
It's horrid.
Oh God, is it?
It's the worst. I could not imagine it being blown up on the.
You don't have a, you don't have a gate like a cluster in front of you either. There's nothing there. It's just the big screen. So if you want to look at your rearview mirror, it's either here or there.
Oh, there's no cluster at all. Everything is in this heads up or in this display. I mean, not heads up display, but okay.
Now here, I'm gonna outweigh.
Digital side view mirrors as well?
Oh yeah, there's no side view mirrors either.
Okay.
When you put your turn signal on, your rear view thing turns into your side mirrors. So you lose the camera.
This sounds like I would crash so fast.
What else is
just
there?
Like learning, there? Just learning the nuances of this would drive me crazy.
There's also a front view camera. For some reason, like you have snow, like covered the front of your... You can...
Yeah.
That's probably a software upgrade.
What a world.
Elon Musk, let us know.
I will take a second and make dude happy. I do have some positives that I will talk about.
It's okay. Fast.
So... It is fast.
Yeah.
For a second.
According to multiple reviews and multiple people on forums, it does not feel anywhere near as big on the road as it should be.
It looks humongous.
It weighs like 7,500 pounds.
Oh,
it's a massive vehicle.
Gosh.
But batteries. the way that they've designed the steering, it's a constant constant like fly by wire system. It's electronically set up.
Yeah.
They have a dynamic steering range, so when you're in a parking lot, it practically crab walks because it's got the rear wheel steering.
Right.
That's really cool, but it works out fine on the highway. It doesn't do anything wild with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly nimble when driving. Like, it's smooth.
Does it have any sort of off-road capabilities? Like, is it? I mean, I know we talked about the differentials last week or whatever.
It's got solid clearance. If you've got all-terrain tires on it, you can do just, you know, what minimal off-roading would be considered to that degree.
Kind of gravel off, like Jeep guys around here off-roading.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, drive through their yard.
Yeah.
But, like, there are genuine positives about this, and I will leave with this. So after doing a bunch of research, I personally still don't like it. But I will say that in terms of overall memorability, I think that for this decade...
That's probably
going to be the most remembered vehicle of like the 2020s.
Yeah, because you drew it when you were 6 years old on a piece of paper, so you're like,
I love this. I found the sketch the other day.
This is how I drew.
I love that you said that because that's where he got the inspiration for the design.
Is that where it came from? Yeah. I read that, but I don't know if that was real or not. So interesting. He literally was like, this is what a 6 year old would draw.
Also, not a negative, but just weird to me. You know how it has the biggest windshield ever put in a production vehicle?
I did not know that.
The biggest windshield ever put in a production vehicle. It has one wiper blade, and it is 4 feet long.
Oh, my gosh. It's $900 at the Tesla store.
Not a negative, not a positive. It's just weird.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
So it's in the center, 4 feet long.
It's here.
Oh, it does this.
And goes down and up.
Weird.
But I just find
this whole situation just so strange. The Cybertruck is a weird, weird thing.
And I don't want
to
keep...
I live in a very small, small world.
Yeah.
So, this is very strange to me.
I don't want to keep sounding like I'm the biggest Tesla hater in the world because I think the Plaid is one of the coolest things they've ever made.
Oh, it's sick.
I think the Tesla Roadster that's going to be coming out looks absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they make cool cars.
Yeah.
I just think the Cybertruck... was a miss on their end. I know there's going to be a lot of people disagree with me.
It's like classic overselling under-delivering.
Yeah, and it's, in the grand scheme of things, it's
but
to each
their
own.
But it was oversold for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, no one was like going like, hey, Elon, we really need a bulletproof truck that can do, looks like a 6-year-old. No one was doing it. It's just him.
No, that's just his dream come to reality.
He's a weird guy.
And
I'm going to take you down.
We're going to take you down. And the last thing that I will say, and I will step off of this stool for the remainder of my time, unless somebody else provokes me. You pay that much for a truck. And that's what it is. It's a truck.
Top quality.
You pay that much for a truck. And after looking into a lot of it, after watching a lot of reviews, the interior quality is... what everybody expects from Tesla at this point. And that's not a knock. That's what everybody expects is kind of shoddy. Things shake. It's not soundproofed great, so it's super loud. You hear a lot of the actual electric engine noises too. Like, it's wild. When you get up to high speeds, I watched a I watched a drag test of it one time, right? Mm-hmm. And when it gets up to like 80, 90, you don't just hear the electric engines, you hear like this high pitched like whine, like you know, in like video games when a grenade goes off next to you and you get that just that tinnitus sound, that's kind of what it sounds like. So
that.
That sounds awful. But like,
I mean, not that you're buzzing this thing at 90 miles an hour all the time.
The interior creaks and shakes, and the door panels will vibrate when you shut the door. It's just like the small stuff like that. If it was more, if it was a more well put together, almost like a luxury vehicle at that point, then it would justify a six figure price tag. But when this thing was initially advertised years ago, at starting at like 35 or 40, what he originally said. There's no, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, Ram puts together a good interior, and their trucks don't cost seven, like, almost six figures.
Right.
I don't understand
that.
Depending on the truck. Well, depending
on the
truck, it's
pretty close.
It's close. It's close. It's close. Yeah, depending on what you get. Like, a regular Ram interior is nice. But, like, it's the small stuff like that. Yeah. Like, every other car that they've got, cool. Don't like the Cybertruck.
I'm in you.
And now I will step down off of my high horse. Whatever your name was, I didn't catch it in the comments. Sorry. I secede. I've said my word.
I know something that'll provoke Logan.
Oh, God.
His favorite car in the entire world.
Is the Ford Mustang.
The Mustang Mach-E.
I hate you.
It's the worst.
We saw one yesterday. I went, look, there's your favorite.
My wife came home this week, and she was like, I was driving down the road, and I got behind one of those new Ford things.
Looks like a Beetle with
Mach-E
wheels.
And she's like, yeah. She's like, and then beside it was the Tesla SUV?
The Model X.
Is it the X? Okay, whatever it is.
Right,
so,
X. I think it's the X.
The E? The X?
The
X, because it's got the fancy
glowing. Yeah, no, that is it. The X.
Okay, whatever it is. She was like, I had the Mustang, and then we had the whatever the Tesla SUV is beside each other. She goes, they're the same thing. She goes, they look exactly the same. And I was like, that's no good. Yeah, so.
Does Emily need to borrow my glasses?
I haven't seen them side by side. She saw them from the back. And like I said, you have to think about this from the perspective of someone who is a normal car person.
You're right.
Versus someone who like looks and reads about cars and stuff more like we do comparatively.
Yeah.
In her mind, they are the same thing.
I get it.
So like, someone missed, and the Mach-E came second. So the Mach-E missed. They should have done something different.
A disgusting vehicle.
Yeah. I don't.
Just because you're right. One of my favorite, like my single favorite car of all time is a Mustang. Make fun of me if you want to. Ha ha.
Okay.
Don't care. Don't care.
I will.
Throw it at me. But the second that they put the Mustang name on that, I hated it. And then
it just
came
doesn't make
out,
any sense.
And then it came out looking the way it did, and I hated it even more.
Yeah, it really made no sense. Why not just make it a new model?
Yeah.
Like, why put a classic name like a Mustang? Especially if you're going to die on the hill of, like, we're going to be the manufacturer who still produces V8 sports cars no matter what. You know, they're going to put V8s in Mustangs forever, they said. And it's like, why would you, like, tarnish the name that you're going to stand on under the V8 sports car?
They did the same thing with the Lightning.
Yeah, I guess so.
The Lightning was a kind of a cool truck when it first came out. And then the new one came out.
I'm seeing so many of these now, and it's really annoying because I passed one of those Lightning trucks.
I see one or two a day.
Yeah.
That one time that I rode go karts with Joey Logano, he just not name dropping.
He did actually.
That is the truth though. That one time I rode go karts with Joey Logano, not a clue, and I didn't even speak because I was just like, he's a cool guy. I don't bother him.
I got to really look at one in depth at a dealership, and I mean,
with Lightnings.
Yeah. It looks like an F-150.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just, you know,
fine.
Solid grill. That's really about the only difference. It's just,
this podcast is not going to become all about electric cars.
It's
I promise. We'll get away from this at some point. But just right now, every time you log into anything and read articles about cars right now,
everything's
the conversation.
Electric,
it is the whole conversation right now.
The
at
new
some
Prelude,
point, it will go away.
The new Prelude coming out.
It may
electric,
not go away, but at some point it will go down a little.
Like, I don't...
It can't go away all the way, because we have to talk about Elon Musk in every podcast. Where
oh, okay, that's right, because we've got to dethrone him.
We're contractually obligated with our agreement with the federal government.
I forgot. The federal government has told us we must... Okay, all right. So it's not going to go away completely, probably.
Yeah, like, I don't want to spend every episode talking about electric vehicles, but you're right. Every time that you look at anything new in the car world, it's talking about this new EV that's coming out from this company, and this, and it's going to be different in this way, and it's going to have this range, and, like, I don't get it. It makes a lot more sense when you have companies like Fisker that are starting to come back and making brand new things, and they're actually looking solid.
Apparently Scout is coming back. Speaking of brand new things, they're coming back with an electric something or other.
Yep.
And that's cool. I love the Scout brand.
There's a look
brand.
On Jackson's face.
What?
Nope. Speak.
You surprised that
speak.
Scout is coming back, or
I don't think that'll be real hotcakes there.
No, I mean I'm not expecting it to be a big seller, but I just like this. I love Scouts. Like they're cool little cars. Like the old ones, the original, like the Scout, like the Bronco knockoffs.
Yeah,
those are cool.
Those are clean. Yeah, I like those.
I like them. You don't like
I think it'll be atrocious whatever they release.
I mean, of course it's gonna be now. I'm talking about the brand in general. I like the original brand of Scout.
Yeah.
That's fine.
You look disgusted.
It's fine.
You look disgusted.
I didn't know that you had such strong feelings about Scout.
It's fine.
Now, okay. I promise anybody listening that we will not consistently
talk. It's fine. You
talk.
Can send me one for free. I'll do it.
I promise anybody listening that we will not consistently talk about electric vehicles.
No, I
it's
promise.
Just super,
I won't allow that to happen.
It's just super hard to avoid it.
Even
nowadays.
If I have to cut it out, we won't talk about it. Let's go into a topic that I really enjoyed. And this weekend, NASCAR was on road course racing. And our buddy Shane Van Gisbergen, he put on a heck of a show Saturday. He kind of got behind on Sunday. He did not perform so great. They had some issues, I think. I think he lost first gear at some point during the race. But let's ignore that. And let's talk about Saturday. Because he put on one heck of a show in the Xfinity cars. Him, AJ Allmendinger, Kyle Larson, and then at the very end it was Austin Hill there with him. And I'll tell you, that guy knows how to drive.
Yeah.
I know you're going to be shocked by that. But I mean, he's one heck he's of a wheel man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and he is just, like, adapted to the Xfinity car faster than maybe even the Cup car. Well, maybe not faster because he won his first Cup race. Yeah. So he is very quickly adapted to the Xfinity car, even though it is drastically different than the Cup car. And, like, he was putting on a show. They were beating and banging multiple laps. And I'll tell you, the guy's already, like, we were talking about the crazy Australians.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has it under the skin. Like, he's very composed when he does his interviews. He's very straightforward. But I'll tell you, the guy is an Australian through and through. Because they get to the very end, and they get to the last restart, and Austin Hill just runs through him and just, like, sends him way out onto the first corner. And then so they race for another lap or so. And so Shane gets back to him, and he just... so hard that it caved the front end of the car in. He hit him so hard in the back to move him on like the third to last corner or so. And he was like, they asked him about it at the end. He goes, he sent me in turn one. I thought it felt like it was fair game. I was standing up for myself and I was like, attaboy. Nice. Like, do not let these guys like run you over.
That's
like, literally,
what we need.
Literally and figuratively. Like, don't let them run you over. So he unofficially finished second, but then he cut the track on the last lap a little, and so he finished 27th or 28th, I think. He was scored. But that's a little disappointing. But that's my Shane Van Gisbergen
SVG
spiel for this week.
SVG was my pick. He was my pick to win it.
He didn't on Sunday. Yeah, he didn't.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
This guy just pulls another one out of his butt on his picks. Just like rant. He goes, oh, I forgot we were... Oh, Byron. Oh, wait, I forgot we weren't racing ovals. I should have made a different pick.
Yeah,
boom, Byron
that,
wins.
The thing that upsets me is that Jackson... individually messaged me after he said Byron. He said, I genuinely was not going to pick him. But I really don't want to unsend that now. So it's set in stone.
Like, I was typing and I had it typed. I was like, I should look at stats. And then like as I went to like close the chat window, I hit send. I went, oh, well, we're here.
Well, you picked right, man. He put it on a clinic. He was really fast again. I don't know. I don't want to get too deep into this topic because I feel like it's griping where I don't need to. But only NASCAR could build a basically road course car and make possibly the most boring road course races ever. Like, it was so bad Sunday. I was bored to tears. Literally, until there wasn't even a late restart. It was just...
Oh, yeah, punch the mic.
Yeah, that's right. I'm new here. The whole experience with this car, they'll never go back. Like, I realize they can never go back to truck arm suspension and H-pattern gearboxes. They've already made the change. That's where we are now. But, man, I wish we could go back. I'm so tired of this car and how it performs pretty much everywhere except for mile and a half tracks. That's been some pretty good racing. But I don't. They just get spread out, and it just causes some of the most boring parade laps ever. And Austin is massive. It's like 3.4 mile lap. And they just get so spread out, and I don't like it. Don't like it at all. I miss
the old. That's why I watched a little bit, and then I said no.
No, you didn't. You didn't miss much. I'll tell you.
I didn't watch none.
Well, you didn't miss a whole lot. I'll be honest with you, but yeah, between the cars being boring and the drivers being boring, it's just it's not my favorite thing. Yeah. Sometimes some weeks I'm like Atlanta. We talked about that last week. You're like, yeah. And, like, you know they're not all going to be like that. That's okay. Like, yeah. That's all right. It's no big deal. But just, like, man, when they just get out there turning 68 laps, not a single natural caution. The only two cautions were the stage brakes, Jackson's favorite thing. And, man, oh, man, if we hadn't had the stage brakes, it would have went green checkers. It would have been, like, there would have been nothing going on. So, no. Yeah, anyway. So I just wanted to give my spiel on NASCAR here. I don't want to gripe too much. Let's talk about Formula One real quick.
They raced upside down.
They did race upside down. Down
in
under,
the great
if
land
you will.
Of where, Jackson?
Australia.
Our favorite place, Australia.
I had to turn my TV upside down to watch the race.
We do have quite a bit to talk
about.
There
is quite
F1
a bit in
time.
Formula One. So where NASCAR lacked in excitement, Formula One ditches their main dude, and suddenly there's some excitement.
Yeah.
Bits of excitement. I would say in general, race was like B.
There's the curse of Max, is what I've been referring to it as, because every time he gets to that 10th race,
yeah.
he can't
he just
do it.
Cannot break
he
his own record.
He'll get
like,
to
he
nine.
Cannot continue
he'll get to
that
nine.
Record.
He'll get to nine, and they'll be like, ah, he's done it again. He's the only driver to reach nine consecutive races twice back to back, and then it's like this will be his 10th race. It'll be the first one to get 10 consecutive first place finishes, and
boom.
It's like
red.
He's like
brake lockup.
He's like on. On one, he's like, car feels weird. And on two, he's like, something's
still
not right.
Feels weird.
It's he got on three, loose. And he was like, fire, 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 fire.
Lots of smoke. Fire.
Yeah, so yeah, and then is I assume on pit lane, me and Dad were watching it, and I think the tire blew out. Is that what the explosion was as he was coming into pit lane? Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I saw the.
It was like a boom. Yeah. And like the car sets down in the back, so I assume it just melted the tire down and it blew out, I guess.
Probably. Couldn't really get a good look.
So anyway, so Max goes into the race, goes out in lap three.
Real bummer.
Mm-hmm. And then we kind of just go into turning laps again. Was it a whole lot? There were some strategies playing out and stuff like that.
Lewis lost power.
Yeah,
I don't remember what lap exactly.
Did you know that this is the first time in history that Lewis and Max both didn't DNF because of mechanical failure in the same race?
Nope.
Weird statistic. Yeah. Yeah, weird.
And the third time that I can immediately recall that Russell has finished a race with the car not on four wheels.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that's weird. So basically, this is another statistic that's happened three times now. Max has went out for a mechanical issue. Carlos has won.
Yeah.
And Russell has had a last lap crash.
And somebody
all
from Mercedes
times,
always ends up.
All three times that Carlos has won, that has what has been what has happened. Max has.
Next time
broken.
Carlos is in first, Russell just needs to like.
So just
shut
because
it down.
I think, like I said, in general, the race itself, I would give it like a B. Like it was just kind of boring, but there was parts of it that were interesting to me. A couple things I want to bring up: the last lap crash with George. You guys saw it.
Yep.
Okay. Do you know what happened afterwards? Did you hear about what happened afterwards, or did you miss this?
Like the immediate aftermath, or
with Fernando. So Fernando Alonso is given a 30-second time penalty for Russell's crash. If you look at his telemetry, he braked 300 meters earlier into the corner than he had been. He accelerated and then he hit the brakes again. And the FIA deemed this as a deliberate brake check, basically, which caused Russell to get closer to him, lose the aero, and then drive into the wall. Or, as I would like to say, caused Russell to get closer to him, he ran out of talent, and then he ran into the wall. Can you believe? I find this frustrated me, and I texted Seth about it, and me and him, I haven't got to have a whole conversation about it yet, but, like, I find that very annoying. Because, like, I know there's no brake lights in a Formula One car, and I know there's a certain etiquette in racing where you don't, like, brake check somebody. Fernando claims that he had some, like, weird issues with his throttle. And I realize there's data backing him up on the brake and then the throttle and then brake again. I have a hard time blaming Fernando for Russell's crash. Yeah. If you see that he's slowing down, even if he brakes early, you, as the driver behind, have to be aware of that and either move over or hit the brakes and slow down.
Yeah, and being an F1 driver, you've definitely got enough awareness to know what's going on.
You would think so, unless, but you see this with Russell all the time, though. The dude gets, like, hyper-focused. Like, at Singapore, he was under pressure, he was very focused on what was going on, and then he screws up and just misses the track and runs into the wall.
So it's like tunnel vision's almost.
It's like he gets so focused on just, like, one little thing that he'll just, you know, just literally drives off the track.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think this whole thing is weird, and why, and, like, they didn't really, like, they, it felt like they were really quiet about this as well, because it demoted Fernando, I think, to eighth place, and he was running whatever, fourth or fifth. Something like that. So, anyway, so it's a 30-second time penalty. It demotes him that many points. And that's a lot of points, yeah. You know, from fifth, wherever he was, down to eighth. I don't know. I just feel like this is one of those things where it's
deserved.
Like, I don't, even if it's deserved, I just don't feel like this is something the FIA, I feel like you're opening a can of worms here. If you start looking at stuff like this, which I guess is their job. I don't know. Anyway, I'll have more information.
We've had our complaints with the FIA already.
I just find that very strange. It's very frustrating, especially coming from the NASCAR side of things where we don't, like, there's no time penalties really. This weekend there's track limits in one section of the track at COTA. So, like, maybe it's just a mindset thing. Maybe I'm just used to a different way of how they rule things.
We talk about poor old Logan Sargeant. Like, I know he's I know he's not the most stellar driver on the field or on the track, sorry. But that was the most disrespectful thing.
It's brutal, man.
Ever.
So
dude.
If you guys don't know this, what happened this weekend with them being in Australia, they didn't bring a lot of backup parts because it costs so much to get everything from the UK, where most of the teams are based out of Australia. So Williams brings their two cars and no backups, basically. No backup chassis. And so during one of the free practices, Albon destroys his chassis so badly that they can't repair it. And it needs to basically just be scrapped. Or it needs, like, at the headquarters repair. And they basically call up Logan and say, "Hey, Logan, we know that you didn't crash, but we're going to take your car away from you and give it to Albon because we believe he is our most likely person to score points."
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think this should be allowed?
No.
I think if you show up to the racetrack with two cars, and that car has a whatever the number is on the car, and that number is assigned to that driver, they should have to stay in the car. There should be no able to drive unless it's a like a medical thing.
Yeah.
Like when Carlos went out and Ollie came in to fill in for him, that's completely different. But, like, something like that, if Albon crashes the car, he should be out. Yeah. Logan stays in the car. There's no driver swaps as far as that goes, in my mind. You agree, surely. Okay.
Yeah. Stoic as always.
Yeah. Thanks
I'm just sitting over here. I'm just sitting over here thinking at least the car's not neon green.
Oh God, yeah, we talked about this.
Those stink cars are really bad, and they are really bad. Like Alfa Romeo was bad, but now this new team is
worse. It's so bad.
They're really bad. Like the paint scheme's bad, but I'm talking about the team. Yes, I'm talking about their performance is poo-poo really garbage. Bad. Like the real nuts keep
cross-threading,
basically.
So they're having to, like, start them by hand to make sure that they're cross-threading. And then they run
20-second pit stops. It's fine. I don't know. So that was – I don't know. I just
– they have to keep spare lug nuts, like, in there because they're like – and then the next time they're like –
it's a really good wheel gun noise you got there. Like, it's spot on. Like, I'm not even making fun. Like, that was a spot on wheel gun noise.
F1 got very, very weird this weekend.
It was a really strange weekend. Oh, also, apparently Helmut Marko has issued an ultimatum to Daniel Ricciardo that basically if he doesn't perform in the next three races, they're going to put Liam Lawson into the car and kick him out. Because fair. Liam did so good. Yeah, he has really been poo-poo garbage, as you said earlier. He's
poo-poo garbage.
Yeah, he is. I don't know what happened. I watched Drive to Survive, and apparently how he got that seat back, at least according to the show, was that he had, like, a lap at Silverstone that would have put him next to Max on the grid in a Red Bull car. And they were like, okay, he's back. He's good. We're going to put him back in the RB Visa Cash App blah 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 team. And now he's poo poo garbage again.
Also the team name poo poo garbage.
it's all around. So we can poo-poo potentially garbage. See the Yuki Liam Lawson team up here in the next by I think they said Japan if he doesn't perform by, oh another one.
They need to change that team logo to just the poop emoji at this point.
They did an interview. It might have been Lawson. He was like in Formula Two. You outdrive the car at some point. In Formula One, the car always outdrives you.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to find out.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
So, he can't be Formula worse than Daniel Ricciardo.
If I'll
the performance
you.
Isn't well, Liam, there, then it's time.
He filled in for Daniel when he broke his hand last year and did really great. Yeah. Scored points and outperformed Yuki even.
Is he getting the racing, raging racing bulls?
I think it's the racing
bulls. Visa Cash App Racing Bulls. The Visa Cash App Racing Bulls, I think.
Considering they threw out, they threw out,
they just call they threw it, out they the just name, call it RB.
They threw out the name El Toro Loco. They were like, no, can't do that. That's too cool.
Are you looking it up?
Yeah, I'm seeing if this is. Yep, it is literally the Visa Cash App Racing Bowl.
I told you.
Wow,
yeah,
that's bad.
It's really bad. Visa Cash App Racing Bowl.
When you get sponsors, you get sponsors. You get
Visa crazy. Cash App RBF1.
Tell us how that feels one day.
give us free
suddenly
stuff.
Suddenly you're turning into the Visa Cash App Shift Points podcast.
You are literally.
I don't even have a Cash App. But for Cash App, if you will sponsor us, I will download a Cash App.
You are a massive brand worldwide. Mm-hmm. You are based off of Red Bull, mm-hmm. and you come up with, and the team name you come up with is Visa Cash App
Racing
RB.
Bulls. Racing Bulls. And then we call it RB. It's really bad. What? And they can't even call it like Red Bull Junior or anything. RBs. The RB. Team RB. Anyway, that's terrible.
Hurts
and on
my
that
brain.
And on that disappointing note, we will end this episode.
For the three of you that are still here,
that's
we appreciate
right.
you.
That's all right. Diana, I think
Diana,
listens.
Toby, Eugene.
I think Buddy probably listens still.
Maybe.
Hi, Dad.
Okay, four.
Yeah.
Is Chip watch it?
Our
probably,
biggest fans.
Yeah.
Five. Right, here we go. Shout
well,
out to
everyone
you.
Everyone, we appreciate you very much. Thank you guys very much. If you're new here and you enjoyed this rambling whatever podcast you
Gibbering.
Want to call it.
I'm Gibbering about this. Podcast. Listen, I know a lot of people aren't. I'm about this new format. We get to really be ourselves.
I like this too. It's flexible. Yeah. I like it. Anyway, so but definitely hit that subscribe button. We appreciate you guys very much for joining us and being here with us. And if there's any topics that you guys run across in your scrollings up through TikTok, send it to us. Let us know, because I would love that. If we had some people that would send us some articles that they see and they're like, oh, we want these three fools' opinions on these, please do that. Send them DM them to our Instagram at ShiftPoints or into our Messenger at Facebook.
Instagram. You got Instagram, Facebook. Leave them in the comments of the video.
Put them in the comments
in
the video.
We
YouTube,
like the comments
exactly.
on the video better.
And don't
better.
Forget, you can, if you want to take us with you somewhere other than just the YouTube app, you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere that there's podcasts, you can listen to us, basically. So definitely do that, and we appreciate you guys very much, and we'll be back next week.
You can also send this to all of your friends.
Yeah.
Do that. Definitely do that. See you guys.